Our gospel reading this morning and the text for the sermon, as you see, comes from the Gospel of Mark. We're reading in the second chapter and then into the beginning of the third chapter. I invite us to listen again for God's word. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was a high priest, and he ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. And then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath.'" And then moving into chapter 3. "Another time," this is Jesus, "went into the temple, into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. And some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked him, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and he said to them, to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. If we're going to completely understand these two passages this morning, we really have to hear them with a different mindset than we're used to, a mindset that we're not familiar with. And there are actually two passages here. You could see the division. In chapter 2, verses 23 through 28, we have one passage. And then in that next passage at the beginning of chapter 3, we have a second, not distinct passage. These passages have similar themes, but they're in two different settings, as you noticed, as I read. One setting is in a grain field, but notice that it takes place on the Sabbath. The second setting is in the synagogue, but notice that it also takes place on the Sabbath. The theme of both of these passages, though, is that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is Lord even over good human intentions, good human traditions, and over good human laws. Jesus is Lord even over the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord over all of life. I've given away the theme of the sermon now. You're going to hear me say that throughout. I said we have to hear both these passages with a different mindset than we're used to. First of all, in Jesus' society, the Jewish society of that day, all behavior was regulated by the religious laws and traditions. That's clearly not the case in our society. It never really has been. In that society, all individual behavior and all community behavior was regulated by the religious laws. And then second, we live in a society that puts a huge value on individualism and on individual freedoms in our personal behavior. In our society, our freedoms are restricted only to the extent that they don't violate, if they violate someone else's freedom, if they break the law, at least ideally, that's the way we're supposed to live. But we put ultimate value on personal freedom. And society, our society, also puts a great value on diversity. And we should. As soon as we don't value diversity, we risk being exclusive, we risk being intolerant, we even risk being unjust. But the point is that the society that Jesus lived in was really not guided by those kinds of values that we're familiar with. I've said in sermons a number of times that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we really don't have a concept of individualism and individual rights and individual freedoms in the way that we're familiar with. The individual in the scriptures was valuable to the extent that he or she was part of a community, and in this case, the community of Israel. And then after Jesus came, after the church was born, the individual believer became valuable to the extent that he or she was part of the church. So in our mindset, the mindset that I've just described, we have to hear these passages in Mark. And we hear Jesus' words, for example, in chapter 2, verses 27 through 28, where he says, "The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath." And then he says, the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. And then we move to that next passage, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and we see the Pharisees glaring at Jesus, and we see them wondering whether he'll dare to do work on the Sabbath by healing this man. And we hear Jesus take them on when he says to the Pharisees, he says to the man, "Come forward." And we hear him confront the Pharisees. In those words, is it lawful to do good or to do harm? They intend to do harm. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm? Is it lawful to save or to kill? That's a piercing question, because they're, even at that moment, they're plotting to kill Jesus. And then the words say, he looked around and he was grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and his hand was restored. When we hear, when we see what Jesus says and what he does in these passages, we want to make the Pharisees bigoted and narrow-minded. I think I've probably done that ever since I was in Sunday school. And we want to somehow sort of cheer Jesus for taking off, we think, all these restrictions and for advocating that we should live in this complete, unrestricted freedom, that we should do anything that we want to, anytime we want. And in this particular passage, that we should be able to do anything we want with the Sabbath, with Sunday. When we do that, we're trying, in a sense, to Americanize Jesus. But the Pharisees in this passage, they are sometimes, but in this passage, the Pharisees are not just narrow-minded bigots. And Jesus was not by any means taking away all restrictions and saying that we're completely free, no limitations to do whatever we want. Most of us here, and it is most of us here, remember the Sunday blue laws when we grew up. On Sunday, on the Sabbath, everything was closed. Everything was closed except the hospitals and the pharmacies and maybe a few other places that had to meet very real emergencies, very real needs. The stores were closed. The theaters were closed. Everything was closed. One Sunday afternoon, when I was, I think, about 11, it was probably March or April, it was a huge moment for me. It was a huge compromise when Mom and Dad let me go down to the drugstore and buy a kite and buy some kite string so that I could go out with a bunch of friends and fly kites in the Winn-Dixie parking lot. A lot of my friends were Baptist. I couldn't believe they were getting away with it that day. But I guarantee you this, if the movie theaters had been open, and I doubt they were, I would have never prevailed with my parents arguing that I should have gotten to go to a movie that day. So in these two passages, Jesus overrides the Sabbath laws on these two particular occasions. But it's very important for us to understand that he doesn't declare these laws here to be wrong, and he doesn't try to annul them. The Old Testament laws, the Sabbath laws, were good. They were in place to guide people. They were in place to help people live a holy life. And no one in Jesus' time would have ever questioned or prohibited someone from meeting a great and a very real need on the Sabbath, and certainly would not have ever prohibited anyone from healing someone that needed to be healing. So when Jesus asks, in 3:4 there, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to save life or to kill? The answer then in that society, even in those crucial situations, would have always been that it's right to do good and to save. So Jesus is saying something more here. There's something more going on in what he's saying. He's declaring something more, that it's beyond just the issue of the law and the Sabbath laws. So first we hear that one Sabbath, he was going through some grain fields. That's the first setting. Verse 23 says, "And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck up heads of grain." Now in Mark, the Pharisees were constantly watching Jesus to see how he would make his disciples behave. So verse 24 says, "So the Pharisees looked at him and they said, 'Why are you letting them do what's not lawful on the Sabbath?'" And now Jesus does something interesting. Instead of snapping back at the Pharisees, instead of confronting them, he refers to an Old Testament passage where David, before he was King David, let some of his followers go into the temple because they were hungry. Now, was hunger an emergency need or not? Was this really an emergency? We don't know for sure. But in verse 25, the words say, "And Jesus said to them," to the Pharisees, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He went into the house of God and he ate the bread of the presence," which was a very sacred object, "which was not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. And then," Jesus said to them, "the Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." The way Jesus states what he says there is essentially saying, if David could do this, then how much more should I, the Son of Man, have the authority and the power to do this? There's something more going on here in this passage than is immediately apparent. Jesus is saying that he himself, in himself, is greater than the Sabbath and greater than the Sabbath laws. The Son of Man is Lord, he says, even of the Sabbath. And then he moves to the next passage. We move to the next passage, chapter 3, those first 6 verses. And what Jesus does there is that he demonstrates to the crowd. He demonstrates, and the crowd includes some Pharisees. He demonstrates to this crowd what he's just said about being Lord of the Sabbath. This time it's in the synagogue. And as you know, the synagogue, along with the temple, were the ultimate settings for Jewish worship. This would be the place where Jesus would emphatically declare who he is. So starting in the first verse of chapter 3, the words say, "Again he went to the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath." Now Jesus is fully aware of their intent. And so he says to the man, "Come forward." And now the issue becomes whether healing this man, if Jesus does in fact heal this man, whether healing this man is really a response to a true and real and urgent need, or is it extra work that's prohibited by Sabbath law? Jesus knows the issue here. And so instead of answering directly, he throws the question back at the Pharisees for them to have to deal with. Verse 4 says, "Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to save life or to kill?'" And notice their answer. They were silent. That's because they're not really concerned about the good Sabbath laws. And it's not because they were always rigid and legalistic people. It's because their intention is to do harm. Their intention is to kill, specifically to plot to kill Jesus himself. And so in verse 5, the words say, "Jesus looked around at them and he was angry. He was grieved at their hardness of heart And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. He was healed. In his words and in his action here, Jesus is saying something more. He's saying that he is greater than the Sabbath laws. He has authority and power even over the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord in all places. He's our Lord in all places, in all times, in all circumstances. And as we listen to what he does in this passage, I think that sometimes we are supposed to hear and hear that when Jesus is Lord of our lives, sometimes he's going to shake us up. Sometimes he's going to shake up our tightly held, our secure, our comfortable religious and social beliefs. Even Jesus' lordship, anytime, can't be limited. Jesus cannot be restricted by us and our customs and our laws, anything, even at our best. A class of eighth graders watched a movie. It was about the death of Jesus. And when it was finished, they were asked by their teacher, their leader, whom they identified with most in the movie. Did they identify with the disciples or with the Jews or with the Romans? And some of the kids quickly said none of them, because they said they were all jerks. They were just out for themselves. They said Jesus was the only good person in the movie. And so the leader challenged them to explain then why so many of those people wanted to kill Jesus, because Jesus was clearly nonviolent and he was clearly much weaker than his enemies. And the kids were puzzled. And after they thought about it for a while, a couple of them said, well, God told Jesus that he had to die. And then one of the kids noticed that in the movie, Jesus always told the truth, and that he always insisted on the truth. And he said, it's because the truth upsets people. In the gospel today, Jesus is telling us the truth. He is the Lord. He's the Lord over all. He's the Lord over everything. He's the Lord over everything in our lives. He strengthens us. He comforts us. He protects us, he guides us, he leads us, and sometimes he challenges us. But when he challenges us, he's trying to transform us to be like him. Amen.